I don't know the score. Don't ask me. I don't care. It doesn't matter the score at this point in the Super Bowl. I think that you cannot count out Patrick Mahomes. Ever.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of Chasing It for the 33rd Team. Trey Wingo here with Chase Daniel. As we have accumulated the thing we needed to accumulate, we've gotten there, Chase. It is Super Bowl week. It is the game. It is the thing that we've been waiting for all season long. But as a guy who's been through this and has played in a Super Bowl, take people through what happens the week before the game so when you get to where the game is going to be, it's sort of a different dynamic altogether.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hit it. It's fine. It's finally here, Super Bowl week, baby. Let's freaking go. We're in for a treat, rematch of the 2019 game. And when you get to Super Bowl week, and you're referencing Super Bowl XLIV, where we got a pick six to beat the Saints in the fourth quarter.
No, you were on the Saints.
Could not believe it.
You beat the Colts. Beat the Colts.
I beat the Colts.
31-17, the final score.
Yeah, there you go. See, look at you, man. Look at you.
Oh, by the way, dude. The guy that picked that pass off real quick, I think...
Tracy Porter.
I think he's the only player to have pick sixes against both Peyton and Eli Manning in their careers.
That's pretty good. Yeah, man, I remember being on the sideline and was just like, man, that like we saw the pick, and we'll get into the week, but just like it's coming all back, and it was 15 years ago or whatever it was, and just knowing at that point... Like, literally, it was back and forth game. We started so bad. Like, I remember us, like, we couldn't get anything going. Then we did the onside kick at the half, and we come back. And then that moment on the sideline, like, I feel like my soul left my body for a second. And it was just like, oh, my gosh. And it was just pure elation. Almost a fact of, like, just a sigh of relief from all the stuff that we had to deal with that year. And for that to happen, and then you win, and then it's just like you go to the party afterwards in the hotel. I'm pretty sure we had, I don't even know who we had, some massive star, maybe Pitbull or Ja Rule or someone like that. There's a crazy party at the hotel. Everyone's hungover the next day, flying back. And then the 2 days later, you're on Mardi Gras floats going through the streets of New Orleans. I mean, our parade, Trey. Our parade was, I think the parade route was like 1.4 miles. It took us 5 hours on a parade float in New Orleans. And it's Mardi Gras parade floats, which there is huge. And like for them to be able to use it and everyone's having a good time. I mean, it's like 10 a.m., 11 a.m. And I just remember, oh my gosh, I don't know if I've ever told this story. I just remember on the float, it was – Drew was obviously like – I think it was like the Bacchus float. He was like standing up in the king's chair, which obviously he's going to be up there. And it was me and it was Mark Brunell. So like the age difference between me and Brunell, I think he was double my age. Like almost double – like he was like – I think he was at least 40 at the time, maybe 39.
Yeah.
Drew was older, and it was all the offensive linemen, starting offensive linemen. We were like one of the last floats, and I mean, guys have been drinking a little bit, just a little bit.
No,
and man, I remember the whole parade. I remember the whole parade. Mark Brunell and I were on either side of Drew, and there was at least 10 times. Where we legitimately thought Drew was going to fall off the parade float because he's chucking beads, stuff's getting thrown, beers are getting thrown to you, he's chucking stuff, and we're just like, we didn't do anything. Me and Brunell were holding Drew on each side of him so he could not like fall off the float. And man, it was awesome. And it just something that like you win together, you walk together forever. I remember that's a quote that Sean Payton told us and Joe Vitt told us, and it's just like, man, you really do walk together forever. But let's get into the actual question. Sorry, it just literally all came.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say, 5 minutes later, we're actually going to do the question. Which is
yeah, great. I mean, that's, dude, but like,
but,
yeah.
But to the, hold on. What you just did shows how special this is. Like, that's the whole point, right?
Gosh.
You work your whole freaking life just to have this one opportunity, you know, and you did, and you guys cashed in, and yet here we have two teams that have been there multiple times, you know.
Yeah.
The freaking, what, fifth one for – fourth one in five and six fourth. Years for for the freaking Chiefs, and the second in as many years for the 49ers. So what was your game plan? Now, everyone has – a lot of people try to get the game plan – done and the game install the week before you arrive in the Super Bowl city. Like, you did this before you went to Miami. Is that what you guys did?
Yeah, I think sorry about that. Like, that's exactly what we did. We got the game plan fully installed. Like, Sean, and I know for a fact the Chiefs are doing it this way. Like, the Chiefs on Thursday of last week, they started installing base down and base blitzes, and then on Friday it was like a Thursday, and then Saturday was like a Friday. Then Sunday, they're traveling right today to Vegas. And the whole game plan's in. And I actually like that, even as a third-string quarterback. I know Drew really wanted that, because this whole week, right, like, you use – once you win Championship Sunday, you use Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as literally days to rest, relax, and get – every single thing you could possibly think of done for the week. That's going
tickets,
to be a distraction.
Hotels. Yeah.
Tickets, hotels, what family's coming in? Where should I sit them? What seats do I want? You literally need a no man. Like, you need somebody that will tell you and say no. Like, I remember not even looking. Drew just turned his phone off for those 3 days. He said, I'm getting everything done, because it's like travel to and from, like, all this stuff. There's so much outside noise. And he said, we're going to get that. You get a couple workouts in, and then the whole game plan was installed before we left. And that was good, because in my opinion, you want it installed so it's in the back of your mind, and then you re-go over it. You re-hit it Super Bowl week, and you don't have to reinstall. You're going to add these things that maybe from film or preparation or tape that you're looking at and you find. But 95% of the game plan, and I know for a fact the Chiefs are doing it like that, is in. Now, when they get down there, they're going to have walkthroughs. They'll have a day off. It'll be just like a normal week schedule of any other week. And I think that's the best thing for guys, because they're not thinking like, oh, I have to stress and just get overprepared. And that's like the worst thing you can have happen. Like, you don't want to overprepare. I think it's the best thing for coaches in the front of the week to have that time to just sort of game plan, to not rush through it, to make sure you come up with the right stuff. And honestly, like, our Super Bowl game plan, dude, we started, like, you spend 2 weeks trying to get the perfect first call and perfect first, like, what do you want to do for the first play of the game? Right. Do you want to throw it? Do you want to go deep? Dude, we ran fullback dive, and we were on Sean Payton so hard. I'm like, you ran slant 60 base against – that's our fullback. That, like, that's what you dreamed up after – like, come on. But I will say, speak to that, is the whole week I remember we didn't really add anything that we hadn't run. Like, it was just the stuff that you ran. You personnelled it different. You formatted it different. So I actually love that about the Sean Payton game plan, was like, you're just running the hits, man. You know what you're doing. You play fast, because when you do get into the game – It's a little bit, I mean, obviously, like, 120 million people and eyeballs are watching, so it can be a little bit difficult. But I think that's the best way to go preparation-wise for these teams.
Well, your story reminded me of another story I heard about the Colts, not from that Super Bowl, but their first one with Peyton, Super Bowl 41. And, you know, obviously they'd just beaten Tom and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, finally, you know, got their ticket punched. And they had a meeting about the logistics that you're talking about and how all this stuff was going to work. And Peyton got up there. Jeff Saturday told me this story, and he told it on my pod, so I have no problem sharing it here. Peyton got up there, and he knew, like, okay, finally beaten Tom. I finally got the Super Bowl, but I have to win. Like, I have to win. I have to win the thing, otherwise I'm going to hear the same old shit, climate-controlled quarterback, you know, can't do this, can't do that. So he knew how much pressure he was facing. So he got up there. Now, this is a whole team meeting. Coaches, players, family, everybody's in this meeting.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so everybody's in this meeting where they're going over, Tony, this is how we're going to do this, this is how we're going to do this, and all this. And Peyton gets up there and says, hey, just remember, this is a fucking business trip, okay? I don't want any kids on my floor. I don't want to hear any running. Because he wasn't married that time, didn't have kids. You know, he was still
obviously
football. I don't want to hear any of your freaking kids. I don't want to be loud. I don't want to hear any of this bullshit. And Jeff Saturday said his wife was sitting next to him in this team meeting, and he started squeezing his hand like, what the hell is he talking about? Like, he was like, I don't want to hear no distractions, none of this stuff. Peyton, after he said that, Jeff Saturday and Tarik Glenn, the big left tackle, went up to him and said, you need to chill the fuck out. You need to
calm
chill
down
out right now because
calm
you
down.
Are about this entire team wants to beat your ass right now.
Yeah.
So you need to calm down. Otherwise, this team, forget the Bears and Brian Urlacher, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
I mean, it was – but it goes to the point, like, you know what's at stake. You know that legacies are made. You know that if you do this – so, like, people always say, oh, it's just – treat it like another week. That's impossible. It's impossible
you can't.
To treat it like another week. But do you think sometimes the team that finds the way to handle that the best usually comes away with a win, or do you think there's any correlation?
I think there is a lot of correlation to who handles, because it is. It is like – it is distraction after distraction after distraction. There is not one normal thing about it. When you go and you stay in a hotel – the entire week, you're used to, when you're traveling on away trips, you stay Saturday night and you're in and out and you leave Sunday. They're there the whole week. And you even, like, you stay at a different hotel the night before the game to make it feel like you're moving hotel, which you do move hotel. So it's wild. But I think the definite thing that, I don't know if you're a believer in this or not. I am. And I know some people aren't, but I think Super Bowl experience matters, not just playing in the game, but having dealt with everything like they have. I mean, 4 Super Bowl in 5 years for Mahomes, right? Appearance,
right?
And the Chiefs and Andy Reid, and so they have their schedule. They know exactly, that whole locker room knows exactly what to expect. Now Shanahan hadn't been back since 2019. There's a lot of guys, including a starting quarterback who was at Iowa State 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Yeah. So, you know, there is a huge factor for me. And I do think that some of the worst football that's played in the playoffs is the first quarter of the Super Bowl. Because guys are so nervous.
Also, so many timeouts. I mean, there's so much more commercial
time. Yeah, and that's something. That's a great – like, so talk about the actual game day of it. So when you're game day, first of all, you usually get there 3 hours before. Any game, like a team bus, you leave and you get there like 3.5 to 4 hours before. So there's a lot of waiting around. The warm up is a lot longer. Okay. When you're out, like when you're fully warmed up and you're ready to go out for the coin toss, I think you're out on the field 20 minutes longer than you are at any other game. A lot more TV timeouts. Halftime is double the amount of time, I'm pretty sure. So, like, that's the biggest thing is that when we went and played in Miami in that Super Bowl, We had people taking off their shoulder pads. We reinstalled a first half, first 15. That's when Sean told us they were going to do ambush, which was the onside kick. So we were hyped about it. But that's longer too. So it is a much longer. You just sit on the field and wait. It's like hurry up and wait, hurry up and wait. So there is all that, and the people that can just, hey, forget it. I got to get between the white lines. I got a game to play, and that's where I think Super Bowl experience comes in.
Yeah, Troy Aikman tells this great story. The first Super Bowl, the Cowboys, they went to. It was the Rose Bowl, Pasadena, you know, the whole big thing. And he kept telling himself, just another game, just another game. And then he said he hyperventilated so much during the national anthem he almost passed out.
Like, yeah.
That's true. How much the pressure gets to you. So we'll break down what we think may or may not happen in the keys to the game in a minute. But you mentioned dealing with the pressure and dealing with work and understanding what that's like. Well, we're very fortunate to have two guests on the program this week who know a little bit about that from their time together in New England, as well as one guy's time in Tampa Bay. So we're delighted to be joined now on the 33rd team. A couple of guys you may have heard of, Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman. All right, delighted to be joined now on Chasing It for the 33rd team by two guys who know a thing or two about Super Bowls and paper towels, apparently. Rob Gronkowski and Julian Edelman joined Chase tonight. Guys, what's up? And you're coming to us from Bounty, and you're getting yourself all clean. Is that what's happening here?
Well, we all know you can't have football without wings, and you can't have wings without Bounty. And, you know, Rob and I partnered up with Bounty as wingmen because he's always been my wingman to clean up the messy situations for me as I've tried to do for him. What would you say to that, Roberto?
Yes, Julian's always there to clean up my mess. I'm always there to clean up Julian's mess. And we've been wingmen for our whole entire lifetime since I've been a New England Patriot about 15 years ago. We hit it right off from the very beginning when it was our first time going out together to a club. And the club was called Splash. And we made a splash the second we went in Splash. They were like, who are these two guys? And we were like, oh, it's the two wingmen that you will know for the rest of your life. So now we have teamed up off the field as well. Since we were wingmen on the field with the Patriots for about 9 years, and now we're wingmen together with the Fox team, being analysts together before the games every single Sunday. And now we are bounty wingmen together as well.
Okay, great. Thanks for the time, guys. Appreciate it. Talk to you later. No, just kidding. Chase, go. Say things.
Be smart. What's up, man? Nice to see you guys. Appreciate y'all. A couple things. My biggest thing that I want to ask you guys, because you guys obviously know football and Super Bowls, the biggest difference between Brady and Mahomes for you guys, because I know you guys are now analysts in your next life, what do you see in Mahomes that is very similar to Brady? Why do you think they are so good in their right mind and right aspect? Start with you, Jules.
I'd have to go with leadership. I mean, if you look how humble and willing Patrick Mahomes is to work with guys. I mean, it's so darn impressive to see what they did last year when they lost Tyreek Hill and they adopted some new guys into the system and then were able to do it again and put themselves in a situation where they could go do it again this year with a new team. And having the humility to be able to understand what your team is, know that you're a defensive team, know that you can't make the mistakes, know that you take care of the football, but on the situational type, got to have it play that you need, you find a way to make that play. That's what Patrick Mahomes has been doing this year. You don't have the receivers he's had in the past. And that leadership is what, you know, reminds me a lot of Brady. That's like a willing thing. You know, it's a lot of quarterbacks. It's tough to get guys, you know, to talk to a guy, you know, that's only played 3, 5, 6 years, you know what I mean? And these guys, they try to win with what they got. They don't snivel. They just go and they put in the work and they continually improve and they understand how to win.
And I agree with what Julian said, and I'll also add on to it, the determination level of wanting to win and willing to win as well. He's determined to win no matter what the situation is, whatever obstacles gets thrown in front of his face, he is willing to deal with. He's willing to reinvent himself as a quarterback. What he needs to improve in his game in order to improve the team week in, week out, year in, and year out as well.
Yeah, speaking of mental toughness and willing to win and wanting to win, we saw that on display in the AFC Championship game, a little dust-up between Justin Tucker and Travis Kelce and Mahomes when he was out there on the one-yard line and they threw his helmet and all that stuff over there. Gronk, I want to start with you on this. What's it like watching another tight end wearing number 87 just sort of doing everything that you and Brady did and taking it up a notch? I mean, they are now the most prolific quarterback to pass receiver touchdown duo in the history of the postseason. That was a thing that you and Brady had.
Yeah, so I got nothing but respect for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, obviously what they're doing, breaking mine and Tom's record for most touchdowns in postseason history, just shows how remarkable of a duo that they are. And it also shows the work and determination that they have put in. It's not like they're beating records because they're just showing up and just going through the motions. They're breaking out records and having the success that they're having because they're putting the work in. They're staying after the watch film to be on the same chemistry, you know, throughout, you know, practice and throughout the games and being on the same page week in and week out. And when you're doing that, that's what people want to see. That's called leadership. Kids need to see that, you know, it just doesn't happen for a reason. It's happening because they're putting the time in and they're putting the work in. So you can only tip your hat to them as well. So nothing but respect to those two.
Real quickly, what did you make of the dust up? It almost looked like Travis was coming for a fight because the Ravens made a lot of noise that week before the AFC Championship game. Yeah. And I think that Travis was trying to set the tone early. What did you make of that whole thing at the goal line there?
I mean, I've seen that happen plenty of times in football, and it happens like that a lot when a kicker or another guy is trying to warm up on the other side of the field before, like, you know, you got to officially take your side of the field before the clock starts, you know, with that period. So I've seen it happen many of times. I don't really understand to this day why other players are even allowed on the other sideline. Like, it should be a rule that before hours before the game, this is the only side you're allowed to be on. I don't care where the wind is blowing. I don't care what direction the wind is going. There should just be a rule so that type of stuff doesn't happen, because I can't believe it doesn't happen more.
Guys, before we let you go, I want to ask you about Brock Purdy, specifically you, Julian, from a receiver standpoint. Like, I don't know, man. I break down his games every single week, and he continues to show me, like, he is an elite quarterback in my mind. He makes all the throws. Why do you think he gets so much hate? And what are your thoughts on him? Do you think he's an elite level quarterback? Does he have to beat the king, Patrick Mahomes, to prove it time and time again? I don't get it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Brock Purdy, and I think he's done a great job. And a lot of people, they confuse this whole game manager with what he's doing. He's more like a game operator. People don't understand how hard it is with that specific team, the 49ers, with the personnel groups that they have, the formations they have, the protection adjustments they have. Someone that can come and digest that in just his second year and deliver gotta have it plays, third downs, third and longs, all these little things that he's been hitting consistently through the year, that just doesn't come. Okay. They tried to do it with Trey Lance and it didn't work. You know, you saw Jimmy G had, you know, a little success with it, and this guy's done nothing but put himself in a great situation each week because he continually improves. You know, he's had a couple hiccups, but the cool thing when you watch that, you know, in the couple rain games, immediately after that next week, he always had a bounce back game. That tells me he takes his practice seriously. That means he's a technician and he's continually trying to improve. So, you know, he's still young. It's only his second year. Is he like the top five quarterbacks, six quarterbacks? No, but he's well on his way if he goes out and beats Patrick Mahomes this week.
Yeah, that would elevate his status for sure. Hey, listen, I know we're up against it, but I did want to ask you both, you guys, one thing. As we're taping this, Bill Belichick is out of work. Arguably the greatest coach in the history of the NFL may not be coaching in 2024. And one of your old teammates, Danny Amendola, had a really interesting quote recently where he said, "We worked for Bill, but we played for Tom." I want to get both of your reactions to what Danny said and then why you guys think that Bill doesn't have a head coaching job right now.
It just tells me that not everyone's really about winning in this league. If you're not going to hire Bill Belichick, you know, it's crazy. He's tough. Yeah, he is a force to work with. But any team that brings him in instantly gets like 35% better just off rip because of the amount of knowledge he knows, the amount of experience that he has. He's seen everything through the game. And yes, he's had his struggles these last couple years. But this is a quarterback league, okay? You got to find a quarterback regardless of where you are. And, you know, he wasn't able to do that. So, you know, that is a true statement what Danny said. We played for Tom, you know, we worked with Bill, but he was kind of just like, he was like the older uncle or principal that you liked. He gave you some wisdom here and there, but you were scared of because, you know, he always kept you on thin ice because you always had to be prepared around him. So it just tells me that the league ain't, not every organization is trying to win.
So he's not the fun uncle, Gronk, right? He's not the fun uncle. Bill would definitely not be the fun uncle in the family.
No, he's not the fun uncle, but he's the uncle that will be there. Uncle that's going to put you in the best situation to win a game, though. So therefore, after you win, there's always a lot of fun. And I can't believe that he doesn't have a head coaching job, but I think it's happening for a reason. I think it will be good for Coach Belichick if he actually sits out a year, you know, goes and enjoys himself personally. I mean, he's put his time into the NFL by far, coaching 50 years straight. And let me tell you, he knows the game inside and out better than anyone I've ever been around. No doubt about that. And if he takes a year off, gets rejuvenated, comes back next year, accepts a head coaching job, and like Julian said, that team becomes better instantly. He's the best coach in the game that's available. And if you want to win, you hire Coach Belichick as your coach.
And then you play Journey songs, yep. Right, Gronk? Because you were how old when you knew what Journey was? That's what I learned this past weekend. You didn't know what Journey was?
Yes, I didn't know exactly what Journey was, but once I heard all their songs, let me tell you.
You knew
I
it. Knew yeah.
All their songs, for sure.
That's funny. Don't stop believing. Don't do it. Don't.
Yes. Yes, don't stop believing, Coach Belichick.
There you go. All right, guys, we appreciate your time. I know you got a busy schedule. Thanks for hanging out with Julian. Still waiting, by the way. Hit me up.
Yeah. Hey. Didn't you throw me a Welker comment or something?
Get out of here, you clowns.
Thanks for joining us, boys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
All right, once thanks again to Julian and Rob for joining us. And really, it's hard to believe that a quarter of the league changed coaches from this past season to the upcoming season, and Bill Belichick did not get a job. We'll see what happens there. That still kind of blows my mind. Won six of these things, by the way. Apparently, apparently not good enough. We'll see what happens. Yeah. All right, so now let's break down the game. I have one thing that I think is the most important thing in this game.
Ooh, let's hear it. What we got? Else.
I think it's the matchup of the head coaches. Well, Kyle Shanahan versus Andy Reid. Andy has done a masterful job against Kyle. Over the years. I think the last six matchups, and some of these obviously predate Kyle, but last six matchups, I think that the Chiefs are 5-1 in games against San Francisco. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes' era, they've never lost to the San Francisco 49ers, a 3-0. Andy Reid had to get that thing off his shoulders. Can you win the big one? Proved he can. He's won multiple. He's going for a third. There's a lot on Kyle Shanahan in this game. Because you can make the argument that he didn't handle Super Bowl 49 well, where they had the big lead and they kept throwing it, and 3rd and 1, you know, hand the ball off instead of a 7-step drop. You don't get a strip sack from Dante Hightower. Patriots don't come back. They had a 10-point lead with about 8 minutes to play in Super Bowl 54.
Yeah.
They ended up losing by 11, which is almost an impossibility,
sort
a 21-point swing.
Think, yeah.
21-point swing. And you know what did they do? After the Chiefs scored to make it 20-17, got the ball back. They ran up and ripped 7 yards on first down. And then they threw it twice. And people say, well, Kittle would have been wide open because Suggs was on him. Yeah, but the ball was tipped, right? So, great. It was wide open. It didn't work. And then he threw it again on third down. If they had run it a couple of times, Chiefs might not have the ability to have the time and come back and do what they did. I think there's a lot of pressure on Kyle Shanahan. I think there's more pressure on Kyle Shanahan in this game than any other participant, coach, or player in the game.
Yeah. I mean, spot on. Absolutely. Like the most pressure falls on not only the head coach of the 49ers, but the offensive play caller for the San Francisco 49ers.
Correct.
So that's the craziest thing of all is like, yeah, look, Super Bowl experience, okay, got to get the monkey off your back eventually. And if I'm being honest with you, this is the best offense he's had. And quite honestly, he finally has his quarterback. Like, I truly believe that he has his guy who he really believes in, who he sees the game alike, who's he's trusted in these big spots, a second-year guy in Brock Purdy to make these layered throws, to make everything that Brock Purdy makes. And, yeah, I mean, look, if they wouldn't have – that's like Trey, like, forget about the Super Bowl – if they would not have hit on Brock Purdy because they passed on Trey Lance, and if they would not, I don't know if Kyle Shanahan is at where he's at right now.
I agree.
Honestly,
I agree.
Like Jimmy G, okay, yeah, whatever. Complete whiff on Trey Lance. That's him and Lynch. Now they both got extensions, rightfully so, but it's because of Brock Purdy, in my opinion, and because that you had a quarterback. Because if you miss that badly and you mortgage a franchise that badly, in my opinion, and you don't hit on a 7th-round mystery relevant pick, I don't know if you're at where you're at today. And so I think that's the biggest thing, too, is, yes, there's more pressure on Kyle Shanahan, but the most important coach in this entire game for me, Steve Spagnuolo. No doubt.
Defense coordinator.
No doubt at all. Defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. The way Spags has been playing his defense, and he's playing chess, not checkers. Like, I rewatched the Ravens game. I rewatched the Bills game. I rewatched the Miami game just to before the show, just to make sure I saw what I thought I was seeing. Three of the best offenses in the league: Bills, Ravens, and Miami. Okay, 13.7 points a game in the playoffs.
7 points for the Dolphins. 7 points, fewest of the entire year, fewest of the entire season.
He's playing chess right now, and this is going to be Spags is the DC for the Chiefs' toughest test against Kyle Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan, in my opinion's toughest test against Spags. That's the matchup inside the game that I'm sort of watching, and how is Spags going to attack that right side of the 49ers offensive line, which has been so bad, like so bad. And are they going to pressure three on that side and Luke Chris Jones other? Are they going to blitz Purdy? Are they not? Are they going to continue to do that double-edged pressure? There's so much next level stuff that I'm looking forward to, but mainly how is Spags going to affect Brock Purdy early in the game? And we're going to see it early in the game because he don't wait. Okay, he's cover zero 32.6% of the time. He doesn't wait. Like, he's blitzing, and he's getting after you. And I think that's the biggest part of the game for me.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, you can make a compelling argument based on the empirical data we've seen through the postseason that the Chiefs bring in the better defense and potentially the Niners bring in the better quarterback, with the way Brock Purdy has been playing in the second half of the game. It's kind of interesting.
I'm not
saying he's a better quarterback. I'm just saying he's playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
All right, so I agree with you. Now, the other thing always is injury concerns. And, you know, I'm a little concerned about Charles Omenihu not being there for the Chiefs. That's a big loss. Look, they're going to have to rely on that rookie out of Kansas State to get some snaps. I don't think there's an injury issue that's a serious one for the 49ers. I think they're a little healthier coming into this one. Like, look, they closed out the Ravens without Omenihu because that was a first half injury. But that's one to keep your eye on. Are they going to get consistent pressure from someone besides Jones and Karlaftis? Like, I think that's a legitimate question.
Yeah, and if you watch the Ravens game, which everyone did, but I'm not telling you anything you don't know. The guy who stood out to me the most on that entire defense. Crazy. Not Chris Jones, not Snead, amazing game. Drew Tranquil. Drew Tranquil had his best game of the year. And quite honestly, one of the best games of his career against Baltimore Ravens. And a lot of times, Spags was pressuring him. Really good pass rushing linebacker from a blitzing level. He actually, if you go back and watch it, dude, he saved a 70-yard touchdown catch from Lamar Jackson. Yeah, I said touchdown catch. On that play where Lamar hit it and caught it, Drew Tranquil was able to get him by the tennis shoes and shoestrings and bring him down. If not, it's a 70-yard touchdown, completely different game.
See ya.
Yeah. He's played excellent, especially Willie Gay, I think, is going to play. You don't know. Another guy on the injury front, since we're on injuries, Jerick McKinnon, practice window open. Huge lift, possibly, for the Chiefs, especially out of the backfield. So practice window opened. Now, I know that they give Isaiah Pacheco the fair share of his carries. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has played really well. The biggest thing, though, when you saw Jerick McKinnon in the Miami game overseas really take over that game, something to watch for out of the backfield. They haven't done a lot of choice routes. They haven't done a lot of screen routes to the back. That's their receiving back out of the tight end or out of the backfield. So that's something to watch there.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I went and rewatched that game between the Niners and the Chiefs last regular season when the Chiefs were down 10-0 and they won 44-23. And they converted a 3rd and 20. For a huge first down for like 40 yards to Jerick McKinnon on a screen. He stayed in there, looked like he was going to block Bosa for a second, then turned him loose. Mahomes hit him, had three convoys, had Creed and Trey Smith and those guys tuning it in front of him, and they picked up like 40 yards. And then two plays later they were in the end zone. So I agree. If McKinnon can go, it's a huge plus for Kansas City. Look, people are going to do this all week, so we don't need to break it down anymore. But as we get set to put our preview show to bed, tell me who you're taking and why.
Yeah, I mean, look, I've struggled really all year, especially in the playoffs a little bit, to pick the Chiefs. I did pick the Chiefs 24-23 over the Ravens.
This to me,
not the easiest pick, but I do think I'm the most confident in myself of all the picks I've had in the playoffs is that I'm picking the Chiefs to win. And I'm picking the Chiefs to win. I don't know the score. Don't ask me. I don't care. It doesn't matter the score at this point in the Super Bowl. I think that you cannot count out Patrick Mahomes ever. And I'm not saying that we have on this show. We're huge fans.
Right.
There's a lot of people that have just been like, okay, he sort of disappeared. Yes, it's his worst year statistically, easily. But in my opinion, he's evolved so much as a player from what he does at the line of scrimmage to getting them in and out of the right checks, the right plays, making sure it like stuff's protected. He's taken all over all the Mike IDs in the run game, which means you're directing the offensive line on where to go in the run game, so much more. And he's had to completely change himself and how he plays the game. Long gone are these deep completions down the field like the Tyreek Hill, everything like that. It's all underneath stuff. He's become a point guard, and I think that it's a really, really scary thought for 49ers fans when the best player in the world is getting better.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. There are no deep shots except when it's 3rd and 9, you need to close out the game, and you hit Marquez Valdes-Scantling for a 32-yard completion. I mean, that's what it is. I am with you. Like, can the 49ers win? Absolutely. Do they have a better roster? Maybe. Why would you bet against 15? I mean, I just... Like, you know, we're in Vegas, right? The house always wins, right? He's the freaking house. He's the house. He's the house. So if the 49ers win, congratulations. You did, you know, your Ocean's 11. You beat the system. You know what I mean? You did.
Facts.
But at the end of the day, I'm riding with 15 because I got all the receipts, and we'll see what happens. All right, buddy, I will see you in Vegas at the Super Bowl, and then we'll chop it up after the game, all right?
Sounds good, buddy.